Hello, and welcome to the Mindset Podcast. This is your host, Alex Muir, helping you maximize your performance. And in today's episode 53, we're going to be speaking with Brittany Sherrell. And please welcome Brittany Sherrell to the podcast. And this episode is brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. The number one free radio guest, podcast, and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet. Disclaimer: all information provided by Alex Muir is of general nature and is spoken from Alex Muir's and his guests' personal experiences and personal opinions on the topics related to fitness, health, and education only. No information is to be taken as medical or other health advice pertaining to any specific health or medical condition. You agree that use of this information is at your own risk and hold Alex Muir harmless from any and all losses, liabilities, injuries, or damages resulting from any and all claims. Welcome to the Mindset Podcast. This is your host, Alex Muir, helping you maximize your performance. And in today's episode 53, we're going to speak with Brittany Sherrell. Brittany Sherrell is an executive coach and corporate trainer who teaches emerging entrepreneurs and thought leaders how to package their knowledge and skills into a high-impact coaching program, even if they don't know where to start. And please welcome Brittany Sherrell to the podcast. Brittany, pleasure to have you on the Mindset Podcast today. I'm really excited to go deep into concepts surrounding the online coaching space, and welcome.
Thank you so much, Alex. I am just really excited to be here. Thank you for sharing your community with me.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I liked how when we chatted before in preparation for this podcast, Brittany, like you really liked my little line on my blog talking about how to create better, more equipped, younger human beings for the future by having this information accessible to them, right? By having the different variety of guests that I have on. And it all stems around that. It all stems around, preparing the next generation, right, with the education, with the growth, the personal psychology, to be better prepared, because we're definitely in a different environment now, in the current world that we're in now. It's changed for better or for worse, but however it's been changed, people need podcasts, or they need books, or they need the right tools and tactics to be able to thrive in this kind of environment. There's still abundant opportunity, but a lot of questions I have for you are surrounding, like, how can people be better equipped, would be my first question, amidst COVID-19 and how education's changing. It's a lot more digital, it's a lot more virtual. So with your background as an educator, what are some things that you've seen with changes surrounding, like, how people are getting educated and leveraging their current skills?
Yeah, there is a lot of movement when it comes to the world around us. And so one of the things that's super important in order to stay agile and be able to be fluid with the changes that are going to always constantly be thrust at us is having a balance between making sure you give yourself space to generate great ideas, but also balancing that with sharing your ideas, exchanging ideas. So we exchange those ideas through books, through podcasts, through networking events, through all of these different outlets. And so sometimes it's easy to get caught up in your own way of thinking without opening yourself up to the concept of exchanging ideas with other people. And then sometimes if you do too much of the focusing on other people's ideas by, just relying heavily on books or relying heavily on podcasts or relying heavily on other people's thoughts, you can ultimately lose sight of what you have to contribute to the world. So it's really about making space in your life to kind of find the happy medium between the both.
Right. I really like that. Yeah. Because I feel like for myself personally, I definitely went through that phase when I was younger, probably 3 to 5 years ago, where I was just consumed by all the different tools and tactics, routines, of all these, great leaders and great individuals, that had such so much to contribute and so much to share to the world. But I was like, oh, like how do I fit in with all that, right? Where is my knowledge and skill set lie? So for a lot of young people, that's where they're intimidated, is they're like, you know, how can I find my contribution factor? Or as your book puts it, how can people find their fulfillment factor? So why don't we talk a little bit about that? Like how people, like everyone's got something that they're good at, something that they are passionate about, but how do they dig deep to bring that out?
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, getting really, it's easy to get addicted to achievement, honestly. And I understand about your audience is that most, if you're listening to this podcast, the chances are you are a high performer. And we tend to just get addicted to achievement. So we're always looking for the next credential, you know, the next accolade. What is the next level to get to? And you can literally lose yourself in that, which is why I wrote my book, because I realized that success and satisfaction don't always go hand in hand. I felt like I kept searching and searching outside of myself for this missing thing. You know, you can. What you'll find is that you can end up having the degrees, you can end up having the family, you can have all of the things that you put on your, you know, the list, you know, and still end up feeling like something is missing. And that's what I call the fulfillment factor. What is that thing that makes you feel alive on the inside? And understanding that that requires you to stop looking outside of you, but to look within and figure out how you can leverage what's already there to and leverage it and use it to do meaningful work.
Because when you know what that one thing is, or could be a few things, but you know, trying to narrow that down to let's say one to two things about yourself, then you just have so much more peace of mind, because you're not as scatterbrained. You're more you see the vision. You see the vision of what your life could be like, because you're very clear, right? There's lots of clarity. It's when there's not a lot of clarity, that's when people struggle. And that's what I another question I had for it was, when was it when you got super clear on your purpose, right? It could have been a combination of events, but when did you feel like, oh my God, like I have to write this book, fulfillment factor. I have to start with your background as an educator, educating people on how to bring out and how to search within for that, for their inner fulfillment.
Honestly, it was in 2018. It was a year of transition for me. It was when I had this moment in my life where I was looking around and I was like, I've pretty much done the things that I desired to do. But there's still something missing. And part of what created like this anxiety in my life was it was also leading up to my 29th birthday. And so I started revisiting the big list, you know, the big list you tell yourself you're going to get done before you hit a certain milestone in life. Like for me, it was coming up to my 30th birthday. So, you know, you grow up and you have like this idea of what life is going to look like by the time you turn 30. And so while I had done a lot of the things on the list, there were still things on that list that even if I started that very day, it was not going to be done by the time I turned 30. And so I just kind of went haywire. Like I was like, what do I really have to show for my life? That's when that question started kind of nagging me. And so I realized that I had to give myself permission to revisit the list because honestly, some of the stuff on that list, I didn't even want for my life anymore. But because I had put it there, I felt compelled to follow through on that instead of giving myself the grace and capacity to prioritize what was most important right then. You know, your values change over time. What was your top values, you know, 3 years ago may very well be different, and you have to give yourself space to do that. But for me, I gained a lot of weight. I was up at night, you know, like counting down the time, like how many more hours do I have before my alarm clock goes off and it's time for me to get up and go to work and go through the motions all over again. And it just wasn't enough for me. You know, most people didn't understand because I was young and it was like, you're too young to be going through a midlife crisis. Like, you know, you have a great life, you know, but there was still something missing. And so if you're listening to this and you've been feeling that nagging, feeling like you're called to do more, don't dismiss it. Honestly, it's not going to go away until you really tap into how you can use your gifts and skills to do meaningful work. Don't feel guilty about it.
No, for sure. Because I think a lot of people, they suppress that, or like you said, they dismiss it and they don't know how to bring it up because of, you know, because of fear, because of, they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, why are you thinking that way? Or they're just fear of the backlash of bringing it up and not, or maybe being judged and not feeling supported. So I'm really glad you brought that up because I know a lot of people do feel that way. Just they might not necessarily know who to interact with about it.
Right.
But that's with your online coaching business, that's where you can really help your clients and anyone that's listening is like Brittany can help you to figure out what that thing is or those few things are that really, really make you tick and really make you feel fulfilled and like really bring out that really true inner happiness.
Right. So in the book, I'm helping you really dive into make sense of your gifts and skills, like how to figure out which ones of your gifts and skills will probably allow you to create the most meaning and the most impact. And then in my coaching program, I'm teaching you how to take what you've learned about yourself and what you already know. Again, being high performers, we're always thinking, oh, we need another, you know, certification, another degree. No, take the expertise, the knowledge that you already have, the things that you do well already, and package it into a way that you're able to spread that impact throughout the world. And that's what I teach people to do through turning their expertise into a coaching program.
Yeah. And do you recommend people that are looking to go down this path of like online coaching and stuff like that? Do you recommend that they start with an online coaching program and build that up? Or do you recommend that they start with a course and then do an online coaching program? Or like, what do you feel like is the trajectory there?
I say you trust your intuition, honestly. So like for me, I didn't like set out to be a coach and say, oh, I wanted to be a coach. And I think most people don't. I think it's kind of what you a lot of times fall into or just develop a passion for. So for me, I launched my podcast in 2019. And after I launched the podcast, as a result of that, I started getting speaking engagements. And what would happen was, oh my goodness, you know, after I would speak, people would be like, or they hear me on the podcast, they'd ask me, how can we work further? So if you have a podcast, if you have a book, or if those are things that you want to create and put out into the world, they all go hand in hand because people get a certain level of transformation from a book. They get a certain level of transformation from a podcast, from a speaking engagement. But some of those people need ongoing support. And that's where a coaching program comes in. It's like, I'm not just exposing you to a problem and giving you the plan. I've exposed the problem. I've shown you the plan. And now I'm taking your hand and guiding you through the plan. So you're not walking it out alone.
Yeah. Because that's the only thing with the books and courses when you do them on your own. They're excellent. They give you a lot of value, a lot of tools. But sometimes you're left and like, okay, where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. So people definitely, lots of different people need coaches. Like, the top performers in our world have coaches, like the premier athletes like LeBron James, Michael Jordan. They all had and have coaches, right? Coaching them through, whether that's business tactics, athletics, relationship advice. Like, everyone needs a coach. So yes. I'm glad you brought that up because, it just depends on, what angle you need to go from based on how you learn.
Absolutely. And one of my mentors would always say, success leaves clues. And yeah, so when you think about that, when you think about the people that you aspire to adopt, you know, some of their practices or some of their ideologies or whatever, pay attention to their lifestyle just as much as you do their message. You know, how do they show up in the world? What do they do to pour into themselves so that they can show up in such a high impact way? And so if you dive deeper in beyond just, you know, oh, they have a well put together appearance when they're on stage, their speech is immaculate. If you dive deeper and take a look at their morning routines and their daily practices and who do they have to support them, then you can start leveraging those clues to develop your own success rituals for your day. And so a lot of times when you dig deeper, you'll know that these other people that you see and you aspire to be like, they have support. And almost all of them have a coach of some sort and usually keep a coach at every given stage of their level of success.
Yeah, yeah. And when you were going through your year of transition in 2018, did you already have an existing mentor or coach, or did you find one along the way?
I found one along the way. So there was like this awakening on the inside of me first, where I felt like I was searching. I was hungry. I was like, there's something missing. And I ended up, I actually found my very first coach via a podcast.
Oh, wow.
Podcasting is so powerful. I literally found her via podcast. One day I was on the treadmill, just like I had recommitted to living a healthy lifestyle. And I was on spring break and I really didn't feel like doing it. Okay. It was like 7 a.m. I was at the hotel because I was out of town on spring break. The hotel had breakfast on site. I smelt the breakfast and I was like, you know, I just feel like there was nobody else in the gym with me. And I felt like just going like, you know what, bump it. I'm on vacation. It's okay. I can break my habit for vacation. But then something said, if you want success, do what successful people do. And I had been reading. I was not a podcast listener at the time. I had been reading, though, that the most successful people incorporate podcasts into their day. And so I was like, do something today that you don't normally do. And I happened to scroll for a podcast just randomly and came across her podcast. And it was the episode was about you have to take care of your vessel so that you can execute the vision.
Ah, I love that.
So it was like complete alignment with what I needed in that moment. That just goes to show the power of packaging your message. Had she not packaged her message via a podcast, I would have never even known that, you know, I would not have been able to find the solution that I was craving.
Yeah. And another big thing that has stuck with me for years, a quote from Warren Buffett, he said, the best investment that you can make is in yourself, right? Like, yes. No matter if you're going to school, you're reading, doing your own reading on your own, listening to a podcast, the best investment you can make is in yourself. And there was a point in Warren Buffett's life when he was saying he wasn't the most confident with public speaking. Mm-hmm. So he did the Dale Carnegie public speaking course. And then he had a huge surge of confidence from that. So that's when he was like, you know what? Investing in myself, investing in yourself, it can build a ton of confidence, and it'll make you feel like it'll give you that confidence to go into the world with more conviction and more clarity.
Absolutely. Because the thing is, I think sometimes we inadvertently associate support with a sign of weakness.
Right.
And it's not that. Honestly, coaching for me, even when I've hired or invested in coaches, even if I was considered myself well-versed in the area they were coaching me on, a lot of times the value in coaching is the fact that this person has a trained eye to see the blind spots that you cannot see. And so we tend to get a lot of times we're so close to the work that we're doing we have these blind spots, things that we don't see because we're so close to it, we're not seeing the larger picture and the larger possibilities. And so having that type of support behind you helps you see those blind spots so that you get out of your head and, you know, into the world.
Yep. I totally agree. And I really like, I actually had, like the last time me and you were chatting, I did a little personality assessment kind of a thing. And it was very different than anyone I've taken. It was actually from a guest I had in the podcast over the last few weeks ago. And, okay. And yeah, and it was like exactly one of those kinds of personality assessments where he goes into more depth. It's custom to the person that he's dealing with. And based on how you answer the questions and how you order these different concepts, it's like 18 questions or whatever it asks you, and then you order them from most important to least important or something mm-hmm. like that. And there's like two sections of that. And then once you complete it, then he gets the results, and it's basically like these different levers. And based on the different levers, it'll tell you, it's like a basically like a an emotional intelligence test. And then shows like, you know, your level of empathy, your level of focus, attention. And then one of mine that came up was like how I really love building relationships. Like, and that's where podcasting and my current job, they all intersect. It's because of, I love building connections with people. I love building relationships. And especially when the pandemic hit, I went into the podcasting space because I was like, you know what? If I can't see anyone face to face, at least I can talk to them. At least I can potentially build a future connection with them, right? By having someone on my show, I feel like it's like I'm having like someone in a studio with me, right? We're having like a coffee. I want it to be like deep, meaningful conversation, you know?
Right.
And it makes a huge difference, right? Because that's a large part of people's mental health is the social component, right? Sure, you want to eat healthy, you want to, live a healthy lifestyle and train regularly. But a big thing, you know, especially as we age, is like keeping those social ties together and then building new relationships with people. So.
Absolutely.
And speaking about your TEDx talk, in the midst of our current world, how can people be more comfortable with disruptions around them and learn from those disruptions to create future personal growth?
Yeah. So the thing is, a lot of times disruption is an opportunity it's always an opportunity to develop. And so if you train yourself not to go into freak out mode, when life is disrupted, whether it's at work or in the marketplace or wherever, at home, in family, if you train your mind not to just go into panic mode when disruption happens, you can really leverage that to develop yourself and also the people around you. Just a couple of years ago, I temporarily lost sight in one of my eyes. And so I had not seen it coming. It just kind of happened out of the blue. And I remember the doctor telling me, you know, you may never regain full sight in your eye. And I remember just telling him like, no, that's not going to be my story. You know, I didn't know what this road was going to look like. And I mean, I do not recommend that. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. I really didn't have the the background telling a medical professional what was and was not going to happen. But I had that level of confidence because I know that I am committed to leveraging anything that others may perceive as a loss as something for me to learn. There's always something here for me to learn and something for me to leverage. And so if you understand and you approach disruption in that manner, you don't go into panic mode. You view it differently. You say, where is the opportunity in this? And so when you do that, it allows you to guide people through spaces you've never even been through before. So I had to teach, you know, my husband and my family and even my job at the time, because I was still working full time as well. I had to teach all of these different people who were attached to me how to support me and how to also keep their own mindset towards my situation level headed. And so it's about shifting your mindset to just seeing the opportunity in everything.
I really like that. And like you were saying, like you've recently gone full time in entrepreneurship within the last 6 months. So before that, you're still working full time as an educator, right? Yeah. And then when was it, would you say, when you're able to make that mental shift of turning panic mode into more, okay, how can this be more opportunistic for me? Or how can I turn this state of despair into more of a learning lesson?
I was honestly, it just kind of clicked in the moment. I didn't even have time when the doctor said it. There was not even a moment where I gave doubt an opportunity to creep into my mind. I literally just in the moment just said, no, that's not going to be my story. And so
Right.
I would say the importance behind that though is I had been mentally feeding myself, before then, I was already feeding my mind. I was already nurturing how I saw the world through, personal development
Yeah.
books. And by that time, I'd already experienced the power of coaching as well. And so, when you develop those practices as a part of your life, you don't even realize how it really builds your mental stamina. So that in moments like that, it's an automatic response to view it as opportunity, versus adversity. And so just understanding like me being the leader, because even at my job, I was the head of my team. And so me being going through this, I had to lead them. And so what it taught me was even in the physical sense, I had to be able to see when I couldn't see and then translate that to my team. And so even in the workplace or even in life in general, when things may look chaotic around you, you have to be able to see even when you cannot see. That is the beauty of vision. Vision is, I remember listening to a snippet from a pastor a few years ago, and he said, sight is what you see with your eyes open, and vision is what you see with your eyes closed. And so, if you develop those practices to really develop your mental bandwidth and the way you see the world, it becomes automatic responses for you. But you can't just like, listen to one podcast and suddenly think you have superhuman mind strength or whatever. It has to be a consistent part of your life.
And for people that are trying to build that practice of the daily reading or daily podcast listening or even audiobooks, because I know the way we learn is changing as well. Not everyone likes to do paperback books anymore. A lot of people are like to listen to podcasts, audiobooks, that kind of thing. How much time do you personally dedicate towards your daily personal development?
That's a good question. Honestly, I don't really know the total amount of time. I would say just be intentional about leveraging every part of your day to incorporate it. So if you're riding in the car listening to a certain kind of podcast, if you're home and you're cleaning the house, maybe listening to some having something playing in the background. I do take time in the morning. A part of my morning routine is to journal and to write and to read. And usually my morning routine is about an hour, and reading is a part of that. But I would say find your own personal cadence, because different seasons of your life is going to require different levels of commitment from you. So, a year from now, I may be, one of those people saying, oh, I spend 2 hours a day reading, or I spend an hour a day just thinking, because I read some research on, the billionaires of the world, and most of them spend, 2 to 3 hours a day just thinking. We have these ideas of them like in meetings all day and doing this and doing that. And the truth is, they have gotten to a point where their brilliance is in their thinking. So they create space in their day just to think. So just being aware that you shouldn't just try to literally duplicate what someone else is doing, but obviously recognize patterns like, they have a morning routine, they have a night routine. Seems like journaling has a huge impact on what they do, or listening to podcasts, and find your cadence, because your individualized success ritual will be unique to you.
I like that personal cadence. Yeah, that's really good, because it really is about a personal cadence, like having like your own routine. The last time I had on my guest a few weeks ago, he said that. He's like, oh, when I asked him, like, you know, what kind of morning routine or evening routine does a lot of his clients do? And he said he says there's not one routine that they do that makes a difference. It's all like you were saying, it's like they stumble upon something. They have an epiphany along the way while working towards their vision and their goals. And they have it in this epiphany. You know, they all have good routines, but it's the epiphany along the way, that stumbling block or stumbling into figuring out how to solve a problem. That's when they soar into new heights of achievement.
Right, right. Yeah, you definitely have to give yourself space to. And I think, you know, honestly, because of how we function, most of us are analytical, we're observant. And so, and especially when you're working in the workplace without any entrepreneurial outlet, a lot of times we're given blueprints, we're given templates, so to speak, to follow. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to developing your own trail to success, and not just success, success is such a big word, but your individual, your unique level of success or space of success, whatever that looks like for you, there is no template. And so we spend a lot of time just not getting the results we desire in our life because we keep trying to copy templates.
Yeah.
And you have to develop your own customized blueprint. And so what I found is, like, a lot of times when you are employee minded versus entrepreneurial minded, employee minded, you're looking for a manual. Entrepreneurial, you're seeking to develop the manual, you know? And so you have to take that mindset and apply it to your life and say, I'm not an employee of my life. This is my entrepreneurial space. How do I develop the way to what I want?
Right. Book. Brittany, do you, with your book, what are the 7 sectors of fulfillment, and how can people use those to go all in on their strengths?
Yeah. So, in the book, I talk about how I organize life in the 7 sectors of fulfillment, and those sectors are the professional, relationship, health and fitness, faith, finances, education, and fun. And so after doing some research, I interviewed some folks, talked to people, had conversations. I realized pretty much anything under the sun that is attached to us in some form or fashion will fall into one of those 7 sectors. And so I found it extremely helpful to organize life into sectors to help me more readily identify which specific areas of my life are healthy and which areas need nurturing. And so the thing is, when you feel like there's something missing in your life, honestly, you don't really know how to put your finger on it. But if you kind of create these sectors, it allows you to organize that frenzy and give it, you know, a sense of clarity so that you can kind of see, okay, I feel like there's something missing, but here's what I already have. You know, these are the things that are going well for me in health and fitness. These are the things going well for me in faith or in education. But these are some of the things that I desire. And so it kind of gives you a sense of direction for where this feeling may be stemming from in terms of what's missing in your life.
I like that. I like that. There was a few years ago, I think it was 2019, when I made a dream board. I was doing this affiliate marketing business, and there was a dream board that my team was like, oh, Alex, build a dream board. I'm like, okay. Because I've always written down my goals or journaled my goals, right? Like yearly, quarterly kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I've never really done that visual part of actually mapping out a dream board with all the things that I want in my life. Seeing that visually. So I broke my life goals into like 4 sectors. I said it's health, wealth, companionship, and travel. And the one that was always at the forefront above everything else was companionship, because I'm such a social person. Mm-hmm. So a big part of my life was finding my future wife. So, which was such an awesome feeling, because I literally was writing in my journal before I met my fiance, and like it was, I met her like ha just before Halloween of 2017 in Starbucks, and before then it was like literally like end of September 2017. I had written in my journal, I'm like, oh, like I wrote down all the details of the woman that I wanted to, you know, be my future wife, and she literally fits the mold like to the T of what I, you know, the woman that I was looking for. So it's so, I totally believe that you can manifest what you want in your life. It just depends on how focused you are in that particular area, right? And because I was so focused on that area of finding that companion, that life companion, that's why I was able to find the one like a lot sooner. Because that's why it takes some, you know, some people a little bit more time, because it like they say, where your focus goes, where energy flows. So if your energy is really flowing in that area, you're really gonna find that what you're looking for a lot sooner.
Absolutely. That reminds me of something I read the other day from I was reading one of Brian Tracy's books, and he was talking about the law of expectation. And he was saying, you know, whatever you expect in life with confidence becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you go through life and you expect certain things, but like, here's the thing, the other part that he mentioned was that most people don't even decide what they want. So if you don't sit down and decide what you want for your life, what you desire to accomplish or to experience in life, then you're really not setting your sights on what you want so that it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But whatever you expect, with confidence becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. I thought that was a powerful quote from his book. And what you just described was the perfect illustration of that. Like, you were intentional about deciding what you want, and then you were clear on, I am confident enough to believe that this will come to pass for me. But you know, a lot of times we also talk ourselves out of believing that we can experience these things quicker in life rather than later. We think, oh, you know, it's going to be a whole long, drawn out process. If I start working on myself now or focusing on this thing that I want, I still probably won't experience it for another 3 to 5 years. And the truth is, that's just not how it always works. A lot of times, this stuff is literally waiting for you to take the first step, and the rest will meet you there.
I love that. Yeah, because it's once you get clear on what you want, then the road that you don't see yet starts being paved in front of you. Oh, and my last question for you, Brittany, would be on your blog and just your brand in general, you talk a lot about communication style and how to develop your current communication style to be a better leader, or to show up better, you know, at work, in your career, or in your business. How can people develop their current communication style to build better relationships with their clients, friends, or colleagues?
Doing things like what you mentioned at the top of the podcast, it is so important. You know, a lot of times when we're talking about communication and stuff, we automatically jump into assessing the people around us. And the truth is, you're going to get way further in life if you take time to pay attention to you. How do you show up in the world? How do you communicate with others? How do you prefer to be communicated with? Because if you don't pay attention to these things, you're then not able to convey your preferences to other people, which then a lot of times creates friction in the way you deliver. But you also need to understand, you know, like sometimes we get frustrated because people don't communicate with us in the way we prefer. But if you have not taken the time to really dissect how you prefer to be communicated with, you cannot communicate to other people how to communicate with you. Like, you don't even tell them how to communicate with you, whether it's at work or whether it's at home in your relationships. You don't teach them how to talk to you, because you don't know how to talk to you. You just know you don't like what they're doing. So the first step is really understanding you better and understanding Because we kind of all come with bias. We think the way that we think or the way that we communicate is the right way, or it is a really great way to communicate. But the truth is, we all have blind spots. We all have pitfalls that are attached to our personality style, our communication styles. There are pitfalls of each one, potential pitfalls, you know. For instance, you may see yourself as being an assertive person, and you think that's a great thing. People don't have to guess about where they stand with you. But then to the other person, it could potentially come off as aggressive.
Right.
If you know this, you're not surprised when people are taken aback by your delivery. And you know, okay, I may need to adjust the way I deliver the things that I say, because I'm really teetering between assertive and aggression. You know, it doesn't really catch you off guard or catch you by surprise. You can be a lot more self-aware when you're engaging in communication, when you know more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So a great way to do that is, like you said, you know, find a find like an index or some type of assessment to learn more about your own communication style. Pay attention to when you get that kind of red light in your head when someone sends an email you don't like, or they send a voicemail you don't like, or they deliver some difficult information you don't like. Like, pay attention to that. What is it I don't like about that? When was the last time I let anyone know that I don't really prefer to be, or this is the way I prefer to be communicated with versus the way they delivered it, you know? So it's really a lot more about understanding how you communicate before you even try to dissect how the people around you communicate.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. We all got to look within and look at ourselves first, and then see where we're currently at with our communication, and then we'll be able to find out from there once we do some introspection and self-reflection of kind of where we stand. And then, like you said, taking those assessments, they're very helpful in giving insight into our current communication style. So that's excellent. Right. But this has been an excellent podcast episode, Brittany. Would love to have you on again for a future episode as well to delve into some deeper concepts surrounding the online coaching space.
Absolutely.
Your podcast and lots of other things. And before we let you go, what is one key takeaway that you'd like to share with our audience? By being on the Mindset Podcast today, what was your one or two key takeaways that you might learn today, or that were more brought to the forefront after our conversation?
I would say, don't shy away from that feeling that you're called to do more. Don't feel guilty about it. Pursue it full out. You deserve the freedom on the other side of that and the fulfillment that comes with that too. Like, don't downplay your gifts. Don't downplay your skills. Even if you've never been paid for it before, don't downplay it. You know, really lean into those gifts and skills and find ways, and intentionally find ways to leverage those gifts and skills to do meaningful work in the world.
Love that. And Brittany, what platforms are you most active on? How can our listeners connect with you?
Absolutely. I am really everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I won't say everywhere. but I spend the bulk of my time between Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. But yeah, and for your listeners, if they're interested in learning, if you are interested in learning how to coach, you're like, where do I start? You can go to my website or social media sites and click the link to get access to my webinar. For the first 10 listeners, you can go and use the code MIND, since we're on the Mindset Podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, use the code MIND and the training. I'm teaching you a 3-part framework for how to turn your knowledge and expertise into a high impact coaching program. Even if you don't know where to start, it's normally $297, but for the first 10 people, if you use the code MIND, you can get it absolutely free.
Wow, right on. Thank you so much, Brittany. And pleasure having you on the Mindset Podcast today. Can't wait to have you on again, and really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's been fun.
Right on. And you take care, and we'll chat again soon.
You too.
All right. Bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed that special guest series episode brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. If you enjoyed this podcast interview with myself and my guests, and you'd like to give me some feedback, please do so by leaving a short review on Apple Podcasts under Mindcep Podcast. That's MINDCEP, the Mindcep Podcast. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'll be happy to hear your feedback. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can do so as well on social media or on my blog. That's Alexander Muir, ALXANDER, Muir, M as in Mike, UIR.com. And thank you for listening, and see y'all next time.